Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Lives Less Ordinary is the podcast from the BBC World Service, bringing you extraordinary personal stories from around the globe. Search for Lives Less Ordinary wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Cristina Noriega, and I'm here in Quilmayo, in the southwestern province of Valle del Cauca in Colombia. All around me are twinkling lights, festive cheer, colorful streamers, and a lot of music. It's February 16th, and everybody is excited for tomorrow, Christmas Day.
Hello, and welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. This is Heart and Soul, where we explore personal approaches to spirituality from around the world. For this episode, a Colombian Christmas in February, I have flown from the capital Bogota to the town of Quilmayo, where I've come to join the celebrations. Together with photographer Jair Cole, we're going to find out why these festivities happen now and why here. Professor Manuel Sevilla is an anthropologist at Cali's Javeriana University.
As for Quilmayo, it is a small town nearby the city of Jamundí, which is one of the largest cities in Valle del Cauca. I would say it's the fourth largest city in our department. And Quilmayo itself, it's surrounded in a large portion by sugarcane fields. So a lot of the people there work in the sugarcane fields. Some of them work in sugar companies as well, people who work in shops, in health services. A lot of them also commute on a daily basis either to Jamundí or to the city of Cali to work here in all sort of services.
I'm in the center of Quilmayo, and people are gathered here tonight for a special performance that is expected to kick off the four-day festival. The women are dressed in white flowy dresses and colorful turbans. The young men and women are dressed in all black. Their maces are painted with white tribal marks. There's even a brass orchestra that is preparing for a folga, a traditional Afro-Colombian genre here.
I've been traveling with Colombian photographer Jair Cole, who has been following the story of Quilmayo and its celebration of the Black baby Jesus for many years now. Jair, why did you decide to pursue this project?
I've been going to the celebration in Quilmayo for 6 years. What started as a college project has grown into something much bigger. Although I am not a Afro-Colombian person, and I will never feel the racism that these people feel in the streets with discriminatory comments or maybe in social media, I feel strongly connected to this community. I think Quilmayo is an example of Afro-Colombian resilience. It's really impressive how they take this symbols of oppression and they transform it. It's known as syncretism, how different Afro communities adapt their traditions and beliefs in order to survive after slavery.
There are major areas in the country that are largely known for holding a slave population. Places such as Cartagena, for instance, Cartagena de Indias, up in the Caribbean, are very well known. However, there is an area of which much less is known, which is what we call Norte del Cauca and Sur del Valle. This is in southwestern Colombia. And this is a valley, a long valley, where a lot of haciendas were established up until the 1800s, and a large number of the African slave population that was brought into the country ended up being, this is a hard word, but I could say, being stored in these haciendas. It went on until roughly the 1870s when it was abolished. And a slave population was a large chunk of the economic activity in this part of the country.
It really feels like the entire town has come out tonight to witness the performance. Spirits are high. There's one woman in particular who is carrying a black baby Jesus, and she's going to be leading the dance tonight.
Celebration organizer Norman Biafra Aponza.
Precisamente allí está la particularidad de la celebración. Para nosotros, la referencia.
One of the characteristics of this celebration is the reference to a black baby Jesus. For us, worshiping a child of God who wasn't ethnically black wouldn't make sense, particularly when the past is taken into account. We identified with that child, and that is why everybody comes to celebrate.
¿Y sabe qué es lo más importante?
Professor Wilmer Fernando Izahar is a professor of natural science and Afro-Colombian culture and history. He is also a community leader and farmer.
My role in the celebrations is to preserve the history of our community. The history of the festival itself has three aspects. One is religious, one historical, and the other is traditional. Historically, the enslaved community believed that they had a right to enjoy themselves. They felt they needed to create their own celebrations, and that was how this idea of how to worship the child God was born. These celebrations didn't begin during the time of slavery, only afterwards. The slaves wouldn't have been permitted to celebrate prior to that, as they were under the authority of their masters. Why don't we celebrate in the month of December? Because it was assumed that, like any new mother in our community, the Virgin Mary will have to have rested and kept to a strict diet, the Quinamayorian diet, for 40 days to protect her and the baby. If you count 40 days from the 25th of December, you arrive at the second week of February. Finally, traditionally crops were planted in October, and it takes 6 months until they could be harvested and sold to give them enough money to have the celebration.
La fiesta sin que nadie les diera, pues.
There's also another aspect which makes February a key month, as Norman Biafra Aponza tells us.
Hay otra situación que sea bien importante.
There is another very important reason. At that time, the Virgin Mary can dance the juga, which is the genre of music that is danced here and represents us. And that's important because we need her to participate in the celebration with us as well.
Está allí en ese proceso con nosotros.
I'm walking on the main avenue, cutting through the town of Quinamayo, and it's lined with stalls filled with fried foods, sweets, and fresh juices pressed from tropical fruits. The air smells like cotton candy, and music is blaring from the main plaza where there's a special performance that is kicking off the 4-day celebration of the black baby Jesus.
Muy bien. Bueno, y ese aplauso se lo tenemos que dar también a esa gran gestora cultural que llevó la juga a todos los lugares del Cauca, del Valle, a Tonila Biafra. ¡Una bulla para Tonila Biafra! Y ella decía, amanece y amanece, amanece y amanece. Y amanece una pastora en los brazos de María.
The parade is the main feature of Saturday celebrations. Manuel Sevilla explains what takes place.
At a certain time of the celebration, baby Jesus disappears. It is nowhere to be found. So people start walking across the streets from one house to the other looking for baby Jesus. And in that parade, people go singing, dancing specific songs, and they go from one post to the other. And in those posts, what you have are characters like shepherds, like policemen that join the parade looking for baby Jesus. Eventually, they get to the point where they find the godparents of baby Jesus, and that's where baby Jesus comes. And then they go to what we call El Pesebre, which is the little hut where baby Jesus was born. They place it there. So you have Virgin Mary, you have Saint Joseph, the angels, shepherds, and everyone who joined the parade in the streets, and they start singing, dancing, and recitating some poems that have been prepared for that. And then the celebration goes all night long, well, until dawn.
It's just past 9 p.m., and the party is getting started right in the middle of the streets of Quinamayo. There are fireworks going off. There are people dancing in the streets. Spirits are high. Everybody is enjoying themselves.
Why is it that searching for the baby Jesus in the parade is so important to the community?
There are also hypotheses about that. The idea is that there has to be a miracle and that people need to do something to make it happen. So what exactly it means in terms of, I would say, theological point of view, I wouldn't know. What I know is the idea of a quest, the idea of coming together as a community and eventually resolving something that is affecting everyone, which is baby Jesus is nowhere to be found. So we all need to work together, and we need to start joining forces to make it happen in the end. From an anthropological point of view, what we have here is, a wonderful metaphor of solidarity, because this festivity, it demands a lot of joint work from the entire community.
And it really does take a great deal of hard work to make these celebrations happen. Mirna Rodriguez, a cultural organizer, has been involved for the last 40 to 50 years.
Yo me involucré en lo de la fiesta por mi madre y mi abuela. Siempre que hacían, se reunían ellos a hablar de la fiesta.
I became involved because of my mother and grandmother. Whenever they met to discuss the celebrations, I was there listening and watching. My mother Carmelina was the matron, which is an organizer of the party for the adoration of the baby black Jesus. My role is similar to hers. Being a matron is like pulling the strings of the party, how the children are going to be organized, what days the rehearsals are, where the parade comes from, where they go, who the godparents are, selecting the people that are taking part. The parade has evolved to include a number of characters, the soldiers and the angels who take care of the baby Jesus, the godmothers who carry him from Bethlehem. Indigenous people are also included because their culture is important too. Then we have the singers. They sing traditional songs, fugueritos, who are the dancers, and the musicians who bring the fuga rhythm to the whole parade.
Y los fugueritos son los que le ponen el ritmo a la fuga, con las cantoras.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're asking, is the clock running out on the U.S. campus protest movement? Weeks of demonstrations and arrests have grabbed headlines, but the school year is winding down. Will students take their protests home or to the polls in November? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Cristina Noriega, and for heart and soul, I'm in Quinamayo for a Colombian Christmas in February.
It's 5 in the morning. People are preparing to dance around the entire town. Here you go, you just listen that the child, the black baby Jesus, has just arrived, says the coordinator of this parade.
The new generations are very much into this celebration, not only in Quinamayo, but in other parts of the region.
Professor Manuel Sevilla.
First of all, it's a very fun thing to do. You get to be with your friends, you get to dance, you get to listen to music, you get to eat, and if you are old enough, well, you can have a sip of some aguardiente and have a good time. Secondly, the very theatrical structure of the celebration require children to take part. People who play Virgin Mary or Saint Joseph or the angel or the shepherds are usually starting at 7 years old. So they learn the recitations, they learn the songs. So you grow into it, and it's the way how traditional music is usually taught. So seldom you go to a class from 2 to 4 to learn to play the drum. No, no, no. You are allowed to play the drum while in the celebration. It's a fun thing to do. And to a certain extent, it's something that you are expected to do at least a certain point in your life.
I've really enjoyed watching the young people participate, because sometimes you can assume that only the elders are carrying this tradition, but it's really the young people who are enjoying themselves, who are singing the lyrics of these traditional songs as well, and who are going to be the next generation to be the elders and to carry this tradition on into the future.
When we think about older people, let's say young adults and eventually adults who end up being in charge of other things, in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, there has been quite an interesting process of people recognizing and wanting to recognize their cultural heritage. Colombia is part of the UNESCO Convention for the Safeguarding of Cultural Heritage, and beginning in 2010, a number of declarations of Colombia's heritage as world heritage began to take place. Music and cultural heritage is a huge flag to wave in these conditions. So this specific celebration is not only a fun thing to do and something that is part of culture and has been so for centuries, but also is increasingly a political tool to say, here we are, this is who we are, and we want to continue doing it.
Lina Lucumí Mosquera is part of that important younger generation. She has been studying at university in the UK. This is the first time in 4 years that she has managed to get back to Quilmes to see her family and join in the celebrations.
After all this time, I'm very excited. I think my family and I, we have been coming here forever. My memories are me sitting on the ground with my friends from here, from the village, just watching people dancing fuga. And then within each performance, we will have the time to dance fuga. And of course, doing the parade, walking with my old auntie, singing with them. So I think those are my memories. So I think for us, we come back here and then it's not only visiting our families and friends, but also being able to remember our roots, our history, why we are in this community. I think the festival is part of us, is part of our identity and a way to exercise who we are. I think it's a reminder for all of us what it's like to be from Quilmes. So I think the festival is in a way magical. So the festival happens because of us. We are the festival and the festival is us.
At every stop of the parade, we've picked up young men and women who are dressed in elaborate costumes, each representing a character that is important to the story of the birth of baby Jesus, according to the townspeople of Quilmes, of course.
And some of these costumes are made by Luz Nelly Balanta. For the last 15 years, she has been designing and creating colorful creations for the parade.
Me empecé a vincular por parte de mi madre, que mi madre...
I got involved because of my mother. She would design the dresses and I would go and buy the fabrics. Then I would watch how she made them, what would go into it, how many meters would go in the skirt. First of all, I choose colorful, eye-catching fabric so you stand out from the crowd just like they did during the time of slavery. The slaves' wives would stand out because of their full skirts, boleros, and turbans. We also wear turbans because they always kept their heads covered. We, the singers, are identified in the parade by the costumes that the slaves' wives would have worn.
Por los trajes de las esposas de los esclavos.
We're in the middle of a procession. It's a parade that's led by six women who are wearing long, flowy dresses and pink turbans. They're carrying the black baby Jesus. They're singing and saying that today is the day to worship. It's a very festive event. It's accompanied by very loud brass music, and people are coming from outside their homes just to catch a glimpse of the festivities. We're now at the third stop of the parade here. It's called the Indigenous Station. Earlier today, they were telling us that even though Quinamayo is predominantly Afro-Colombian, they do celebrate the indigenous people who also live in this region. They're playing a fuga that celebrates the indigenous people, and then they'll continue off to the next stop. There are a few more along the way before we're going to reach Bethlehem Station, which is where the black baby Jesus was left earlier this afternoon.
José Eider Mancilla is the current director of the musical group Jugueritos de Quinamayo. He was 7 years old when his grandmother took him to the celebration, and he had his first experience of the music and dance of the juga. But what was it that first attracted him?
The way the musicians played the juga allowed people to get carried away by the rhythm and express the deep-rooted culture that flows through our veins. The rhythm connects us to our past, when our ancestors were not able to celebrate Christmas because they were serving their masters at that time. The juga for a man, when he dances the juga, he has to put his hands behind his back in a kind of knot and shuffling his feet to represent how the male slaves moved when they had shackles on their hands and feet. The women didn't have chains on their hands so they could move freely. Because they were all chained, they had to dance in a line, in a synchronized rhythm, so they wouldn't stumble and fall. So basically, the juga is always danced with heads down, looking at whoever is in front, always having the same coordination between the juga dancers.
A large procession is now headed back toward the main park, led by men and women who are carrying large torches of fire. Their light is illuminating all the characters that we've picked up along the way tonight, including a young girl who is dressed in a sparkly gold dress representing the Star of Bethlehem.
José Eider Mancilla.
La celebración de las fiestas tradicionales, adoración al Niño Dios.
The celebration of traditional festivals, the adoration of the child Jesus, it's more than just important to us. It's a fundamental part of us and to our town. It's something that exists inside each of us. Celebrating the birth of Jesus in February is our celebration. Because of our history, we celebrate in February with our songs and traditions, and because it is exactly 40 days after the birth of Jesus.
We're at one of the last stops of the night at Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, where we were earlier in the afternoon with the matronas, the traditional singers, who left the baby in a cradle of beautiful golden silks. And now we're here with nearly 200 people from the town who have come to pick up the baby and bring him into the central park in order for the entire town to be able to celebrate and to adore him.
Why is it that celebrating the birth of the black baby Jesus is so important? Luz Nelly Balanta.
This is something that has come down from generation to generation. What our ancestors gave us is that culture, that joy, that emotion. They left us this tradition, and now it is our responsibility to preserve it.
Lina Lukumi Mosquera.
For me, coming here to the festival, and more generally coming here to Kinamayo, has been a healing activity, because during the festival we are celebrating our ancestors in a way that is different from an idea that they were victims and suffering and unable to make decisions. Of course they were suffering, and we couldn't take this celebration outside of the transatlantic slavery. I think it's deeply connected. Nevertheless, this celebration teaches us how much enslaved people made their ways to celebrate their humanity. Because at the end of the day, what we are saying when we go out and dance fuga is that we deserve to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
It's been amazing being part of the wonderful celebrations in Kinamayo, a brilliant and fascinating experience. I'm Christina Noriega for Heart and Soul, and you've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening. A Colombian Christmas in February is a play-it-by-ear production for BBC World Service.
The mountains are what keeps me motivated in life.
It's where we get to ask ourselves who we are and who we want to become.
At the turn of this century, five mountaineers set out on individual missions to become the first woman to scale all 14 of the world's 8,000ers. 14 mountains, all above 8,000 meters.
It was about pitting themselves against nature rather than each other.
They knew only one of them would succeed. But whether they liked it or not, it would come to be seen as a race.
Five women vying against each other.
The media needed to find some competition, and they find it.
A race with deadly consequences.
We are just not designed to live in this environment.
Getting down alive was my only goal in that situation.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service tells their story in Chasing Mountains.
Every step was an achievement.
Search for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.